It's Baby Friday on the Fan pregame Sportsnet. It's Sportsnet 590 The Fan, almost the weekend, which means it's almost time for UFC 300. Mike Malott, Canadian MMA fighter and Sportsnet analyst for this weekend, is going to join us on the show in about 5 to 10 minutes to help us tee up this big weekend in Vegas.
After Mike, we will pivot to Maple Leafs pregame show in about a half hour. Leafs hosting the Devils on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. We'll have Luke Fox in about 40 minutes to tee that up and continue to assess Auston Matthews' chances of reaching 70 goals.
I think he needs a multi-goal night. It's my take on the
okay,
on the matter.
That's your stake in the ground tonight.
We'll get
it's
to
gotta
that.
Gotta be two.
It's gotta be two or more. It's day one of the Masters. It's a rainy one in the beginning, but it's looking like it's figured itself out now. Shohei Ohtani's interpreter criminal investigation news. Lots going on in the sporting world. We're going to get to as much of that as we can.
Yeah, weird day at the Masters. We're trending towards Scottie Scheffler, like not making it interesting. Still just, you know, he's still a couple shots back, but Scottie Scheffler, when he's that far up the leaderboard, is a scary thing this early. And we will transition to best bets at the end of this half hour.
All right. We talked about it just briefly there with Shohei Ohtani. If you haven't been on the internet today, you've missed a lot of good dialogue, a lot of good, maybe relatable quotes from Ipe Misuhara.
Relatable?
Well, you'll see what I mean by that.
In our proper context.
Relatable in the sense of being a terrible gambler. Ipe Misuhara is, of course, been fired by the Dodgers. We know this from a few weeks ago, but what we found out today is that Misuhara has been charged with bank fraud and could face up to 30 years in prison for allegedly stealing more than $16 million. Now, this money was stolen from Shohei Ohtani to finance his voracious appetite for illegal sports betting. That was the U.S. attorney's words. And Misuhara himself wrote in a text message, quote, "Technically, I did steal for him. It's all over for me." They found conversations between the bookmaker and Misuhara, and it's pretty much, I guess, what had been painted was that he was stealing from Shohei Ohtani. And you know, you can have your doubts on whether you're going to realize somebody's stealing $16 million from you or not, but at this point, with some of these text messages sent allegedly between Misuhara and the bookmaker, he's pretty much owned up to it. And we definitely know how many bets and how much money he had placed and lost within this stretch of December 2021 to January 2024. And it's kind of all open now for you to read.
Yeah. I mean, I think the only thing that we really learned is that everything we thought was just, you know, everything we thought was we underestimated ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. Like everything is to the extremes here. The way in which Shohei Ohtani was gullible and naive, extreme. The way that Ipe stole from him, extreme, clearly, with $40 million in losses. And $16 million was the official stolen amount, at least on record.
Official stolen amount by the U.S. attorney.
It's really wild stuff. It's almost infallible or unfathomable to believe that it could happen. But it did, apparently. And I don't think the authorities are protecting Shohei Ohtani. So we are where we are. But this is a lesson for those who leech or for anyone who plans to leech. Like, you cannot be historically bad at gambling.
This is where it's relatable.
You need to find some sort of system where you can keep it in the lines to a certain degree, because I did some Ipe math just before the show. Down based on $12,000 per unit was the average. That means he's down 3,375 total units in this whole Shohei thing.
And if your unit was $1, that would be, what, 3,000, whatever you said?
Yeah, it would be $3,000. And again, if you're betting $1 and you lose over $3,000, like, you are, like, there are serious concerns there on just on your, like, ability to function in this space. But that is 3,375 units for him was, like, going 0-10 in 337 consecutive NFL Sundays. So 0-10. Every Sunday for 20 straight years of NFL seasons. That's the equivalent here. Like, he was historically bad, worse than you can possibly even imagine. And that might be the only reason why he got caught. Because if he was okay, and it's a drop in the bucket for Shohei, and there wasn't any stealing going on, like, maybe he would have been able to just live this life off Shohei Ohtani until the end of time. But the fact that he was so bad at what he was trying to do is the only reason, it seems, why he got caught.
So a couple other things that might help with listeners just to maybe bring some peace on this. They do not believe the prosecutors that any bets were made on baseball games. So that's a piece of information people were looking for. Ipe had used his voice and spoke to bank employees and claimed that he was Shohei Ohtani. And you've used Shohei Ohtani's biographical information to share to get through, you know, the system of, okay, what's your middle name, whatever that stuff is. Pretending he was Ohtani, and also it's also alleged that he denied everybody else access to Ohtani's bank account, including his agent, his accountant, and his financial advisor. So to do all of that, I guess, allows you to steal X amount of millions of dollars. So in the investigation that's being public today, Ipe placed about 19,000 wagers between December 2021 and January 2024, according to this the documents. The average wager, as you said, was about 12,000.
Mm-hmm.
The largest wager was 160,000. The smallest wager was $10. Total losing bets
must have been like a 1,000-leg parlay. For
yeah,
you
just $10.
Yeah, just $10.
Total amount of losing bets equals to $182.9 million, with the net losses. So he did win some bets, but the net loss is around $40.7 million. Now, the part that I said was, you know, we're kind of seeing on the internet people making some jokes around, was because now these alleged messages between Mitsuharu and the bookmaker are becoming public.
Mm-hmm.
So here are some quotes. Quote, I'm terrible at the sport betting thing, huh? LOL. Any chance you can bump me again? As you know, you don't have to worry about me not paying. Next one. Quote, I have a problem, LOL. Quote, I'm going to be honest. I ended up losing a lot of money on crypto the last couple of years and took a huge hit, obviously, with the sports, too. Just wanted to ask, is there any way we can settle on an amount? I've lost way too much on this site already. Of course, I know it's my fault. And then the final quote was, it's all over for me. Technically, I did steal from him, and that's to about Shohei Ohtani.
I mean, this guy was truly a bookmaker's dream until he became so bad at it that he got caught, right? Because I guess the bookmaker is going to be involved in this. This is illegal bookmaking, so I guess it's not the only person in trouble here would be Ipe. But yeah, I mean, this is beyond even what I thought. And I was kind of defending Shohei earlier. Like, I thought, you know, maybe he was taken for a ride. But at this point, like, I almost feel like less certain about that because this is so ridiculous. To lose, to get $40 million stolen from you, like, how could that work? How could he get by banks and anybody else that tried to stand in the way of millions of dollars exiting a bank account?
Pretended to be him on the phone.
I know, but, like, isn't there...
He didn't allow anyone else to have access to Ohtani's bank account, including his agent, his accountant, and his financial advisor.
I guess, but, like, that seems far-fetched, doesn't it?
Oh, 100%.
That one person who's not actually the person could have that much control over a superstar's bank.
If you're so rich, you know, like...
But again, yeah, we talked about that.
If you're so, so rich, I mean, I don't know anyone this rich. I mean, I look at my account when I Uber Eats. I'm like, God damn it! Like, did I need to spend $12.99 on that? I'm having a bad week. But if you're so rich, or how often are you looking at every single thing on your credit card and your bank account? I don't know.
Answer is never. But I do also think, like, banks and the people that are involved in handling that much money should probably have a couple more safeguards out so that translators can't steal upwards of $16 million from someone. That seems like, hey, we're missing something here at the high levels of banking.
Yeah, so Shohei Ohtani seemingly, obviously still, you know, he's the one helping press these criminal charges. Looks like Mitsuharu could be facing up to 30 years in jail for over $16 million. That is the big, big news of the day. We're just waiting to get our guy, Mike Malott, on to talk about UFC 300. It's a big card. It's a great card this weekend. He's joined us as an analyst for this upcoming weekend. I'm excited to see how he's liking the microphone in his hands instead of, you know, someone else's face, I guess. Let's bring in Mike Malott, who's on site for us for UFC 300. Mike, thanks so much for jumping on. How's it going?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
So now you're a big TV guy. How's the first couple gigs been with us? We're glad to have you on the team. It seems like you're having fun already.
Yeah, it's been a blast. It's as much pressure as it is being live on the camera, it's a lot less pressure when someone's not going to try and sock you in the face. So it's having a pretty good time.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because, we were cage side for your fight, UFC 297. It was electric. Fat Lip was probably the best walkout song that I've heard at a UFC event, of course. I mean, it was awesome watching that. But you seemed so comfortable. And I wonder what it takes for a UFC fighter to feel comfort when, yeah, you're about to go to war with someone in front of hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people. Like, what does it take to be comfortable in those moments?
It can be touchy, man. Sometimes you're on top of the world and you feel untouchable, and sometimes you're like, am I faking this? Do I even belong in here? What am I doing? But honestly, just the old boring answer of putting in everything you possibly can and believing you did everything possible out there, and knowing that that should take care of the outcome, you know, putting in all that work.
I guess before we move to UFC 300, we're just on the discussion of Justin and I getting to see you at UFC 297. Of course, not the result that you wanted, but I wonder for you fighting in front of that Canadian crowd, like what that meant for you. Was it a career high? Was it one of those things that you dream about and you get to accomplish in front of, you know, all these Canadian fans and a pretty Canadian card as well?
Yeah, these last two fights, UFC 297 and 289 Vancouver and Toronto, have been an absolute blessing. The fans have been absolutely incredible. You know, it just being able to go out there and hear a room full of people chant my name as I'm walking out to a fight, going from like the apex fighting in front of like 50 or 60 people to 20,000 screaming Canadians has been an absolute dream come true.
Yeah, and hopefully a lot more to come. So let's talk about UFC 300 this week, and of course you're down there checking it out for us. One of the deepest lineups we've seen, about 12 current or former champions competing. You got Olympic champions, a bunch of title hopefuls. With all of that said, like, what's the biggest storyline for you this weekend? It might be different as someone that does compete and does fight and does know the stories a little bit different than us, you know, us schlups not knowing anything about fighting.
I think the biggest storyline of this fight is, of this card of UFC 300, is just the quality of matches that they have on this card. You know, there's not a whole lot of drama. You know, guys aren't getting in each other's faces. I feel like the fighters from this fight, from this card, recognize how great everyone else on the card is. Like you mentioned, 12 current or former UFC champions. That's almost 11% of total UFC champions in UFC history on one card. So I think these guys are in a situation where it's like great recognizing greats. Like, we are truly the cream of the crop of MMA, all the fighters on this card. So I think the story of UFC 300 is this is the highest quality MMA there has ever been.
Yeah, it's like probably the highest floor, rather, because the first fight of the night features two former champions, as you mentioned, with Cody Garbrandt and Davison Figueiredo. I wonder if that's going to be difficult for some guys who, or girls who, you know, are used to fighting at the end of the night. All of a sudden, prelims, maybe there's not as many people there. Maybe they got to change the way they prep. Like, is it going to be an adjustment for some of the established stars who are in an unfamiliar position a little lower on the card?
It may be strange for some of them. Like you said, Cody No Love Garbrandt versus Davison Figueiredo is the first fight of the night. Those are two recent UFC champions. That could still easily be a UFC Fight Night main event. Every fight on this card, in my opinion, could headline either a Fight Night or a pay-per-view. So it might be strange for some of the guys being on the early prelims rather than the main event or the main card, or people who are used to being on the poster are opening the card. But I think everyone on this card that we've talked to has recognized the importance of this card, and just being on this card at all is such a privilege, and everyone's recognizing it as a feather in their cap.
And ends with that main event, Pereira and Hill. Hill hasn't fought much since the Achilles injury, since I guess, January 2023, hasn't been able to get in the ring much, and then Pereira has most of the momentum, most of the backing coming into this Saturday. So is there a chance that you could see an upset, or how can we see, you know, Hill take this one if it's something you see in the cards?
I mean, I absolutely could see it going to Hill. The man has incredible power in his hands. He moves well in and out. He's kind of got an awkward style and an awkward distance, the way that he covers distance. He's really good at staying just outside of range, touching guys and pulling back. So I could definitely see him ending up pulling this fight out. The biggest factor for me is how does he come back after that Achilles injury, right? That is a devastating injury to come back from. It only happened in July of last year during a basketball game when I was actually playing in the basketball game with him. So he was on the court injured, when he tore that Achilles. So while that is a major factor in this fight, one thing that I'm looking at is Jamal Hill gruesomely tore and dislocated his shoulder against Paul Craig in a UFC fight, his lone loss. He then came back and has had stellar performances since then. So based on his history with injuries and returning from injuries, I think he'll be able to still have a great performance. But again, that is a
that is one of the worst injuries you can have in a sport like MMA is an Achilles injury. So that's probably the biggest factor in this fight for me.
What do basketball runs look like when it's exclusively UFC fighters involved?
Oh, boy.
Well, dude, I got conned into that one. I thought it was like a joke pickup game. I showed up in Phil Rose dunking for warm-ups. I'm like, I'm wearing a hockey jersey to this game. Like, I am it's so out of my element wearing like Chuck Taylor's. I warmed the heck out of that bench, though, I'll be honest with you.
There you go. Safety on the bench, at least. There will be no safety in the third to final fight of the night, which is the BMF title. Max Holloway and Justin Gaethje. This one's the most interesting one for me, because just you know what you're going to get. You're going to get an absolute slugfest between two legends. But I guess, you know, Holloway's had trouble moving up before because they're bigger and stronger as you move up weight, and he is, of course, one of the greatest featherweights of all time. Do you see that being a problem again for Max?
I don't see that being a problem. One, he looks enormous this time. He looks quite a bit bigger. Two, like you said, he's moved up to 55 before. He fought Dustin Poirier for the interim UFC lightweight title and fell short in that one. But Gaethje's fallen short to Dustin Poirier in the past as well. They're 1-1. Dustin Poirier and Justin Gaethje against one another. So, you know, I think Max Holloway has a great chance in this fight. I think it's the unstoppable force versus the immovable object, in that Max Holloway does not stop going forward and throwing strikes. He's a volume striker. He wants to put his hands on you the entire fight. And Justin Gaethje is an absolute wrecking ball. Everything he throws is with bad intentions. He knocks guys out, and he is willing to allow himself to get hit. So I see these guys meeting in the center of the octagon, and not taking a step back.
There are two major favorites on the card. Kayla Harrison, who's making her debut, at least in the UFC, and Bo Nickel, who is this absolute stud wrestler who they are definitely bringing along in an effort to make him a star. Which one are you choosing to get the belt quicker in the respective divisions?
Well, I agree with you there. I think both are on title tracks, even though it's early in their careers, especially Bo Nickel's. I would definitely put my money behind Kayla Harrison fighting for or getting a world title first. She's been a world champion multiple times in mixed martial arts outside the UFC and other major promotions, and she's an Olympic champion in judo. It's also not quite as deep a division, the women's bantamweight division versus the men's middleweight division. I think she's a little closer as far as reaching her potential. She's a little closer to her full potential. So I think she's ready to be tested for a world title, whereas Bo Nickel's a little younger in his career. You can tell based on the matchups that the UFC's trying to build Bo Nickel. They're trying to give him a little more cage time, a little more experience. They're trying to build him up. So I can see it taking a few years for him to get toward that world title. But honestly, I think Kayla Harrison wins this fight. She's right in there for the world title after this fight.
Mike, before we let you go, when's the next time we'll see you in the ring? Do you got a fight lined up, something we can circle in our calendars, or are you just a TV guy now?
It's nothing I can tell you. Mm. We're circling on the calendars yet, but all I can say is I got a very, very exciting text yesterday. So
okay.
We'll have some news very soon.
Can't tell us yet, though. I bet Aaron Bronstetter knows.
Bronny
knows. I can't tell you yet. I can't leak it yet. But
awesome.
We were doing the interviews yesterday, and in between, I've got a pretty cool text.
So look, you're already a TV professional. That's a great tease. Now we'll throw it away.
He's also blushing. He's ready for you. He's likes
ready.
That.
Okay.
He's really excited.
You're a TV guy. You're good. Well, appreciate your time today, Mike. Have so much fun this weekend, and best of luck. Thanks for joining us. You're doing a great job. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Thanks so much. Mike Malott. Okay.
Guess we'll see him soon.
Yeah, we got to get that text. We got Rogers. Get the e-pay, the wiretap. Who's he fighting?
Not to switch the vibe, but wow. Like, we were, again, we were cage side, UFC 297. He comes out third to last fight.
He's our colleague
now. No, but he was dominating, and it just happened. Like, it was so, so devastating. It's amazing how quickly you, like, start caring about that person, especially now he's our teammate.
That's it.
We can't have that again. We need a resounding victory next time for our teammate, Mike Malott.
All right, so Mike Malott at UFC 300 for us. UFC 300 Pereira versus Hill starts at 10 p.m. Eastern on Saturday and is available to order and stream on Sportsnet Plus at additional cost. No subscription required. Visit sportsnetplus.ca/UFC to purchase. Also, you can catch the prelims at 8 o'clock on Sportsnet 360 or stream it on Sportsnet Plus with your standard or premium subscription. I know what I'm doing Saturday night. It's going to be a great card. As we mentioned, we didn't even get to go through all of it, but it's 300. It's stacked.
Yeah, it's wild. Sparta. It is a good night for statistics in terms of like, hey, this is what we're offering here tonight. What was it, 12 champs, former or current champs?
It was a lot of champs.
It's crazy. Just at the bottom of the card, prelim stuff, you got to be in your seat real early to see like legends of the UFC.
It's
going to be an awesome, awesome event.
It's in Vegas. It's going to be at T-Mobile Arena. It's a big one. It's the biggest one that I've ever seen, really. 300.
Just don't tail eBay with the picks.
No, definitely not. Okay. Speaking of picks, you're our best bet.
We're always transitioning from eBay.
It's really tough
to best bet,
but nonetheless, we will provide them for you. We'll provide them for you. It's a big night. There's lots of hockey on tonight. As Justin mentioned, after we take a break, we'll do our Leafs pregame show here. The game's on Sportsnet 590. The Fan will have that. It's also on Sportsnet Regional, New Jersey and Toronto. But I'm going to go from a different little NHL parlay. I'm going with I'm feeling a Florida vibe tonight. Okay. Tampa and Florida. So the Bolts and
Florida
Panthers.
Woman.
A puck line parlay. So both of them to win on the puck line. Now they are playing Columbus Blue Jackets and Ottawa Senators. I think both teams are looking to kind of round out into form heading into the playoffs. Both of their opponents are checked out. So that's my puck line parlay for you.
We're going to talk about it a little bit more after the break. Of course, the Devils in Toronto to face the Maple Leafs, but we know Austin Matthews is chasing the 70 goal mark, and the debates are getting pretty fiery around the Hart Trophy. And of course, Matthews is involved in that, but it's probably going to take 70 goals despite it being somewhat arbitrary, but it's probably what it's going to take for Austin Matthews to be in that discussion. And we know the Maple Leafs are really, really trying to get Austin Matthews into that position where he can reach 70. Well, in order to score, you got to shoot. Austin Matthews forcing the issue tonight. Yeah, maybe he scores 1, 2, 3. Maybe there's more value in the actual goals, but I know he's going to be taking shots. Over 4.5 shots for Austin Matthews tonight, -120. It actually hasn't been the lock of all locks lately.
No, I just pulled it up right now.
Even despite, the chase for 70. But it does feel like it's coming into focus here as he continues to score and get closer and the pressure of, potential load management down the stretch. So I feel like Austin Matthews is going to be looking to get a couple tonight, and to get a couple, he's going to have more than a couple shots on net.
So he had 5 in his last game, but only 2, 3, 6, and 2. My bet, I didn't submit this for our program, but was maybe a Matthews to score the last goal of the game. Because if they're going to put him out for empty netter, let's say the game is within a goal or two, there's a Matthews last goal bet. I know Sheldon Keefe's kind of not leaning into, he was asked about it. Hey, why didn't you play Matthews when it was a 6-on-4? And he said, we don't play him on 6-on-4. It's like, wait, he's 4 goals away from 70. No one's going to, I don't think anyone's going to be mad if Sheldon Keefe puts Austin Matthews out with an empty net. I mean, when you're within grasp, I don't think that's not in the etiquette of hockey.
The only people that'll be mad are those banging the drum for Nathan MacKinnon or Nikita Kucherov or someone else for the Hart Trophy.
Well, that's true.
I suppose, because there might be less than the empty net goals, despite Austin Matthews
even
never really leaning
on those. We're
not even thinking
about the Hart. It's just the idea that 70 goals is right there. And if there's garbage time at the end of the game against the New Jersey Devils tonight and there's an empty net, I don't see the harm in putting Matthews on the ice. I understand that somebody could slash him in the wrist and break it. I mean, that could happen in the first period too. I don't know how much to weigh. Wait, just don't play him for the rest of the season then.
I would imagine 6-on-4 is more safe than a regular 5-on-5 shift. I guess Sheldon Keefe is just trying to keep with his plan consistency. I guess those are some fundamentals when going into the playoffs. But I think what's stronger than that, and maybe more impactful, more profound, would just be the vibes when Austin Matthews is scoring goals. Like,
God,
if anything gets a rise, if anything gets a reaction out of this team right now, it's 34 putting the puck in the net. And we've talked about this a lot, feeling good going into the playoffs. There's got to be some sort of correlation there.
100%. I think this team is rallying around it. They're excited for it. I don't think it's going to hurt to have the hottest goal scorer hit 70 and then head into the playoffs and probably play the Panthers. Last time I checked, it looks like it's Panthers. A lot of movement still to come, but there's only 4 games left for the Maple Leafs. So they got to figure out, again, the Devils tonight. It's the third time in
16 days.
Yeah, that's too much. All right, we'll take a quick break. If you want to watch Hockey Central, stick on Sportsnet. They'll be heading to Detroit and Pittsburgh as the main game tonight. If you want to stick with us on the Fan pregame, Sportsnet 360 and Sportsnet 590 The Fan. We're going to talk to Luke Fox next.